person. My husband says, well, you're not a night person either. I mean, you know, I get kind of moody if I don't have enough sleep. How many of you are moody if you don't sleep good? I'm right with you. You got to get into the Word because the Word needs to get into you. And I have preached since I was 19 years old. That's almost 20 years. And I would say over the past 5 years that God has taken me on a journey. And on this journey, I have began to understand the Word of God better than I ever have before. And as I read the pages, I used to pray over myself and over the Word that I was reading. And I would say, God, open up my understanding because it won't do you no good if you can't understand what you're reading. And as I began to pray over the Word, it seemed to me like the words would just pop out, and just one by one, I would begin to digest those. And you know, I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 22. And this, some of this passage may seem redundant because we've gone over it. This is about the second or third week that we are going to go over some of these things. But what I have noticed about the Word of God is when you're really committed to the Word, it will begin to come alive to you because, see, the Word of God is living and the Word of God is active. When you put it inside of you, you're putting something alive inside of you, and it will take a life. And when you have trouble, when you have trial and tribulation that the Word talks about, the Word that you put up in there, it'll go to the trouble. And so we're reading, and it says in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, sometime later, God tested Abraham. Now, when I'm reading this, here's our visual. And I have learned that you can hang off of every word in the Bible. I used to think that Genesis was so boring because it was like, you got a lot of lineage going on there. I mean, you know, we're going to talk about the grandma, the grandpa. I mean, you're going to go down the whole family tree. And that used to be boring as heck to me. But then I got to be a nosy reader, and I wanted to know who belonged to who. And then something weird began to happen to me, and I began to just digest every word. And I began to put it into my life, into my soul, into my heart, and every word became something that I partook of. Time. I got a big mouth. I don't know how I'm missing that. Later, God tested Abraham. Now, I don't want you to spit the word of God out, but in order to go on this message, I'm going to have to do that, okay? Miss Mary?
Yes, ma'am.
Everybody, every pastor needs a Miss Mary. Miss Mary, I'm sure, has wiped my rear. She's known me since I was 7 months old, and she's taken care of me for a long time. But you get my point. Every word, you can hang on every word. So let's read that again. And it says here, sometime later, God tested Abraham. And I want to tell you that you can be tested. You can be tested, and you will be tested. Now, there are some things that I'm going to pull out of just this one scripture here this morning. Believers need to constantly be maturing, okay? You should not be in the same spot that you were 5 years ago in your salvation. You've got to constantly be growing, constantly be moving forward. Now, one of the things that a mature Christian is able to do is differentiate what you're going through in your life. Now, many, many people, they believe that they give the devil way too much credit. And we see that going on so much in the world today. And it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. And if you're not careful, you can blame everything on God or the devil and nothing on yourself. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Nobody get offended at these examples. Okay? If you eat 37 donuts every day for 5 years, and then you develop diabetes, you do not need to say, the devil gave me diabetes, because, sweetheart, you've done that on your own. Okay? Now, if you have a shopping addiction and you get on the internet the moment that you wake up and you've made a purchase within 5 minutes of every single day, and then you have financial trouble, you don't need to say, the devil's stealing my finances, because, honey, you're doing that on your own. Okay? Now, when you go through things and you disobey what the Word of God tells you to do, you cannot say, well, God's testing me. Because, see, that is not God testing you. That's a product of disobedience. So what we have to be able to do is know what we are going through. It's important to know what's going on with you. I did a devotional last night, and I said, you know, so many people, they don't know, you know, what God really wants. And I said, God wants you. He wants you. And you don't have to pretty up for God. You don't have to act like nothing's wrong with yourself for God. God wants you, and He wants you just like you are right now to surrender. And so it's important to know, if you're in a struggle or a battle or a bad season of your life, we need to know where that's coming from. Is this a test? Is this something that is brought on by Satan? Or is this something that is brought on by myself? And in the Word, we see here that it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. God tested him. Now, the reason why you have a test is to see where you're at. I've been getting emails from the school, and they have said your children are going to be getting the Atlas test, and one of the reasons for that test is so they can see where that child is at. They want to know, what have they learned this year? Where are they at in their intellect? Where are they at with their knowledge of the second grade, of the fourth grade, of 12th grade? Where are these kids at? And, you know, the same applies for us. You don't know what you're made of, really, until you've gone through something that's tested you and tried you in every single way. And so many, many times, God is testing us to see where we're at. Because you know what? It's easy to say, God, I want to just be right in the center of your will. Well, baby, no, you don't, because what the first step to the center of His will is you change it. The first step to the center of His will is you giving up that sin that you like so much. The first step towards the center of His will is you laying down the offense that you've had against somebody for years. See, many, many times we are not where we're supposed to be in wisdom, in the knowledge of God, in our salvation, and we need to know where we're at. And sometimes a good old test will bring us to the point where it is very apparent to us the areas where we need growth. Amen? And so Abraham, it does, it says in His Word, he was tested by God. And so many Christians are living in frustration because they are failing the test. And here's what that looks like. Does anybody know people, and it seems like they keep struggling in the same area of their life? Okay? So here we are. And let's just say, I don't know, I'm afraid to even use an example because people just get so darn upset over anything I could say. But you've got something that you struggle with. We're going to leave it vague. I'm trying to keep the mood good today. And well, this person, they'll come full circle and they'll come to that place and they fail, Melissa. Then they go around again, same place, and they keep failing. See, in order for you can't pass a child on to the third grade if they ain't got the second grade down. Why? Because it's going to be frustrating for them. So many times we are praying for something in our life that we're not ready for because we will not buckle down and just say, God, change me. Lord, mold me. God, you said in your word that, yeah, you do have the right to mold me any which way that you want. So, God, I welcome you to do that. Many people think that that's what they want, but when it comes down to that process, that ain't what they want because they don't want to change. So when we are being tested, one of two things is going to happen in a test. You're going to pass or you're going to fail. You're going to pass or you're going to fail. Now, I've got two teachers. Is that correct? It's pretty black and white in that area. When you give somebody a test, you're going to pass or you're going to fail. But there is not an in-between there. And I want this message to inspire you because what God wants to see in your life is you to be able to move on, to go forward in your life. And so Dad and I were talking the other day, and he said, well, is there anything that I can pray for? Now, we're just going to kind of go along here. When somebody says, is there anything that I can pray for? Give them something that they can pray for. You know how many times I've seen people and they're struggling in their life and somebody will say, hey, is there anything that I need you that you need me to pray about? Oh, life's great. No, I'm good. You know what? You should take the prayer. Because that person that's asking, they probably need the practice and you need the prayer. Dad, do we ever stop learning as pastors? No, we don't. And he said, is there something that I can pray about for you? And I said, yes, and I gave him what that was. And he said, Kelly, we've been praying about this for a long time. And he said, you need to ask God, is there anything, God, that I need to correct in my life to get this prayer onto the next step? Now, look here. There's times where you're coming up to the same area and you've not had a breakthrough. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Because you know what? God doesn't get any enjoyment on seeing you go round and round like you're on a merry-go-round for 20, 30 years. See, God wants to see you living your very best life. And you can be tested. You absolutely can be tested. Amen? So it's a good thing to know where you're at. And let's go on to read. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Now, God will call you by name, and we've gone over that a couple weeks ago. God will speak to you. And there's a part where you need to respond to God. See, I've noticed that many, many times, our salvation is like a game of checkers. You're going to make a move, and see, God's going to make a move. See, what does the word say? Draw close to God, and God's going to draw close to you. See, there's a relationship that's going on, and it's not just a one-sided ordeal. There's a two-way street when it comes to your salvation. And so God speaks to Abraham, and Abraham responds, and he says, here I am. And I believe that a lot of Christians in today's world, they need a very good here I am moment. Here I am, God. Here I am. Here I am. God, I'm right here. God, here I am with all of my failures. God, here I am with all of my problems. God, here I am with all of my successes. God, here I am with everything that's going on in my life. Lord, God, here I am right here. God, I'm not going to run from you no more. Lord, I'm not going to be disobedient from you no more. God, I tell you right now, here I am. Lord, I'm responding to you. I'm responding to your word. And God, here I am. Here I am. See, a lot of people, what they really need in their life is a very good old-timey, here I am moment. Because, see, God wants to be in every single part of you. And if we're not careful, we'll let God into the parts that we're willing to change, and we'll shut him out of the areas where we don't want correction. Amen? And see, God wants to be into every single part of your life. And so we see here that Abraham says, here I am. Here I am. Now, how many of you have children? Dad's sleeping, but he's got them. We got kids, okay? How many of you have ever had the experience of you're calling for your kid and they ain't answering? That's annoying, because they're either ignoring you or they ain't hearing you. But by golly, when I call my kids, I want them to say, here I am, Mama. Amen. I mean, I don't like to chase them little boogers down. I want them to respond. I got a 12-year-old son, and he just thinks that he doesn't have to respond when he's been spoken to. And you know what? Here's what I have to do, Aunt Pat. It takes every single thing that I am right now, okay? Everything, Kayla, every fiber of my being to mother him right now. Everything I got, I'm trying to pour into Carson Paul. We are in a very challenging time of his upbringing. And there are times, Kathy, where I just got to go in the bedroom and I just cry because I'm so stinking worn out from it. But here's what I do. When he don't respond, I get all up over that kid. Because here's the deal, Alyssa, and you remember this, every part of your motherhood, if you don't teach them to respond to you, they're not going to know how the heck to respond to God. Amen? We got adults that don't have this down. Amen? I got one amen from Brother Larry, and I'm going to take it. We got adults that can't say, here I am, God. That's got to change. Because, see, that's a miserable life. And so Abraham says, here I am. And in order to for him to have said, here I am, he had to hear God. He had to hear God. See, God will speak to you. God will call you by name. And you need to answer. But in order for you to ever answer God, you have to hear him. And I guarantee you, there are people, they may be watching on Facebook, they may be here in the congregation, but you're having trouble hearing God. I've been there. I know. And that's why I'm preaching this message this morning. Because, see, my sheep, they hear my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. In order for you to respond to God, you have to first hear him, okay? Go with me now to 1 Samuel. You know, sometimes we ignore God's voice so much that we get ourselves into a season where we can't hear him because we've ignored it so much. But go with me now to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'm going to set the scene for you. Samuel is the son of Hannah. And Hannah, his mother, cried and cried and cried and tried to have a child forever, could not. She finally went and through much prayer, much agony, much grief over not being able to have a son. God gave her a son, and she named him Samuel. And she told God, if you will give me what I've asked for, if you'll give me a child, I will give him back to you. I will give him back to you. See, I'm in the part of my child rearing, and I don't think that it gets any better. I'm just going to keep this real, okay? Because I have children, and I am a grown child. And I look at some of the stuff that I still put my parents through, and I'm going, oh, my God, that must really be terrible to have a grown child. We need to look at our parents sometimes and just feel sorry for some of the stuff we done put them through.
Amen.
That got some more amens. But I'm going to just tell y'all, and this is not a part of the message, but when you come to that point in your parenting, I don't care how old the kids are, and you say, I don't know what to do with my kid anymore, do exactly what Hannah did. Give them back to God. Every time you get frustrated, every time you get overwhelmed, every time they've disappointed you, every time they're dating another jerk, they're dating another husband, you don't like it, well, guess what? Give them back to God. So here's Samuel, and in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple. This is a little boy. Was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. The Lord called Samuel. Here we see it again where God is calling on somebody. See, God is calling your name. Whether you hear it or not, He's calling you. And that calling comes without repentance. And Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and he said, here I am, you called me. So we've got a little boy and he begins to, for the first time, hear the voice of God. And he thinks that it's Eli, the one that takes care of him. So he runs to Eli and he said, you called me, here I am. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lied down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up, and he went to Eli, and he said, here I am. You called me. See, when God calls us, there's times that we're not going to know what he's wanting from us, but you need to go and say, here I am. Here I am. When I started working for the church, in one day, a 15-year career was done. And that was really, really hard to take because I missed that. But I felt God calling me into ministry. And I just remember for months missing that job. And I would cry and I would say, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but I miss what I had. Now, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to tell you something. You can get up in the presence of God no matter where you're at. Okay? Amen. Does that mean you don't need to go to church? No. Quit trying to find a loophole. Okay? I'm a person. I get it. When I worked for the church, I was the secretary. Me and Dad, we went everywhere together, every day, for 2 years. And one time I was over there, Jill, in their house. And he had gone somewhere. And I was cleaning. I was doing some paperwork and stuff. And I just felt lost. See, sometimes God is going to call you to a place, and when you get there, you're going to feel like a fish out of water because it's all new to you. And somehow I made it to their laundry room. Now, how many of y'all remember the days of wallpaper? Well, Mom and Dad, they got this really, 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 really old wallpaper in their laundry room. And I got up in the laundry room and I started feeling the Holy Ghost up in the laundry room. Can you believe that? And I began to just weep. And before I knew it, I was on my knees in the laundry room. Can you believe it? What is my point here? church is like the cherry on top. You got to live this stuff out. Don't wait to get to church to hit your knees, people. Okay? Because if you live that way, you're missing out on a whole lot of good stuff. But I began to tell God, God, I feel so lost. I don't know why you called me to this. And he said, look at that wallpaper. That's from your roots. Kelly, I want you to go back to your roots. I want you to go back where you came from. I want you to begin to remember being 7 years old and hitting your knees and giving your life to me. See, God's calling you today, but can you hear him? Can you hear the voice of God calling you? See, when, don't tell me that there's not a promise for your children. I heard the voice of God on my 7th birthday telling me that I had sin in my life and that I needed to get down and give my life to him. That's a true story. Don't tell me that kids can't hear from God. Don't tell me that kids can't be, they have to sow their wild oats, because, see, I just don't believe that. You don't have to sow wild oats. They don't have to. Now, do most of them? Yeah. But you can raise kids that don't. So here we have here, Eli told him again, go and lie down. And again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up, and he went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son Eli said, I did not call, go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Verse 8, the Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up, and he went to Eli, and he said, here I am, you called me. And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. For your servant is listening. There are two steps from hearing from God. Number one, to actually be able to hear him. To hear that still small voice talking to you. And the second step is listening. Listening. Every morning, without fail, Frank gets on the phone. And he'll read me off the forecast because I need to know how to dress. Do I need to be fancy today or am I going to be cold? Well, Angel, I never listened the first time. I got my own things going on up in this little head. And so I'll say when I've woke up, when I've had my coffee, you know, when I've gotten on Amazon and kind of looked around a little bit, I'll say, hey, Frank, what's the weather like today? And he'll go, you didn't listen to it again, did you? See, somebody could be talking to you all day long, but if you ain't listening, it's not going to do you any good. You can hear something and not listen to it. But if you get into that so much, you're going to lose the ability to even hear the voice of God talk to you. Well, how do we get that way? God will say, don't do that, and you'll go do it anyways. The further you get out, the further you don't do what he says, the further you get away from his word, the harder it's going to be to hear him and then to even be able to listen to him. Amen? So when we do hear God, we need to slow down and we need to say, Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening, God. Speak to me. Speak to me. How big is it for God to speak to you? Look here, God could say, go this way and don't go that way and save your life right there in that one little thing. That one little thing. God spoke to me so many times about the man a sinner. But one of the main things that he said was, just hold your peace. Just hold your peace. Hold your peace. Kelly, don't get worked up. Don't fret. Whose idea was this? God, it was yours. God, it was your idea. Whatever ideas of God's, he'll fund them. If you've got to constantly fight and make it happen and all of that, you got to ask yourself, is that really from God? Did God call me to this? Did God tell me? A lot of what people get into, when you finally get them narrowed in and you say, well, did God tell you to do that? A lot of times the answer is, no, he didn't. And I done got myself up in it. See, you got to be able to hear him. See, God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham heard him. He listened to him. God called him by name. And then he responded, and he said, here I am. Here I am. There's people, and they've been running from God. They've been procrastinating, putting it off. I hear so many times people say, well, Pastor Kelly, I'll come to church when the sports slow down for my kid. Look here, do not make sports your God. God's a jealous God. And whatever you put before him, it's falling apart, I guarantee you. I guarantee you. How do I know? Because I've lived it. I've lived it. So, go with me now to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. And this is a place where we were last week. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 8, here we are again, and I'm just going to refresh your memory. Here's Isaiah. He has an encounter with God, and he says, I saw God. His train filled the temple. Do you remember where we talked about that last week? His train filled the temple. He said, God, I'm not worthy. I'm a man of unclean lips. The seraph came down, got some coal off of the altar, touched his lips and said, you're cleansed now. The sin is gone out of your life. And then God begins to speak to Isaiah. And he says, then I heard the voice of the Lord. Are y'all catching that? I heard the voice of the Lord. I heard it. The Word of God says, if you hear God's voice today, do not harden your heart. Why are we talking about hearing God's voice? I don't know, Angel. I just got to preach what he puts inside of me to preach. My only guess is we got some folks, and it's not a shameful thing, but you know what? This is like a hospital, and we got to get people well. Amen. And if the pastor's preaching about not being able to hear God, then the likelihood of people struggling right now to hear him is probably a real thing. Or else I wouldn't be preaching about it. I'd be preaching about where I got my awesome jacket. Frank said, they're going to think we're going to get married all over again. Look at this gaudy thing, Kelly. So look here, man. I love that jacket. It's hotter than heck. I said, Frank, I'm going to turn the air up on in here. He goes, Kelly, you've been running around like a little circus flea, and you done got yourself hot. Well, I was, and that jacket, I'm going to have to wear that in the winter or something. It's hot. But in verse 8, it says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, what is the voice of God saying to you? What is he saying? Now, let me talk to you about God talking to you, okay? Be going on through your day, and God will speak to you, and he'll put something up in there, and it's up to you to respond to what he has said. It's up to you to respond what he said. Now, I like what Brother Dwayne said over here a couple weeks ago. He said, I'm single and I'm loving it. I ain't chasing no women down. Praise God. Because look here. That's not a troublesome spot for you no more. He done got him a ring.
Married to God.
Praise the Lord. Now, if God speaks to Brother Dwayne and he says, Dwayne, do not go date Sally Sue. It's up to you to do what he said. And here's the deal. You start dating Sally Sue when God tells you not to, God will come to you and he'll say, you're doing something I told you not to do. And then what comes is conviction. When you get around Sally Sue and you're taking her for the ice cream, you're thinking, oh my God, I'm somewhere I'm not supposed to be with Sally Sue. God done told me this wasn't good for me, and here I am. But see, if you keep it up, it's going to be hard for you to do what to be disobedient and hear from God at the same time. Now, he's not going to get offended about that. We grew up together. I know what will offend him and what won't. I don't know what will offend him because I don't think he's easily offended. Now, I was walking. This is all going somewhere, okay? We were walking around the Manna Center, me and Coco. Coco is, I don't have the kids here, but let me tell you something. He is just one of my absolute most favorite people on the planet. That kid, I don't know what God's going to do with him, but it's going to be really big. And I had that little boy in... He's just almost bigger than me. And hand in hand, we were walking around the Manna Center. And I said, Coco, you see the Manna Center? Oh, yeah, Mama. Coco, now God made that Manna Center come about. Now I said, now in his word, he says that it is not by might, that it is not by power, but it's by the Spirit. And I said, the Spirit of God done birthed this Manna Center where we could see it today. I said, Coco, if you will keep God at the center of everything you do, God will be with you your whole life. I said, Coco, when people leave and they break your heart, when things happen in life, God will be right there. God will be the one person that will never leave you. Stay with God, Coco, and hear God and do what God tells you to do. Well, he didn't skip a beat. He goes, Mom, I'm going to tell you, God was speaking to me today. And I said, what did he say? I'm excited. When my kids tell me stuff, I want to hear it. I don't care what we're talking about. I want to hear what they got to say. He said, well, God was speaking to me, and I was on the playground, and he began to speak to me. And he told me very clearly, stop chasing them girls. I said, baby, if that ain't a word from the Lord, I don't know what is. I said, you leave them girls alone. I said, you just leave that for a few years down the road. He said, I was. He said, I was on the playground and I was chasing the girls. And God spoke to me and he told me, Colton, quit chasing the girls. You just hang with your buddy Declan. Now listen, don't tell me that kids can't hear from God. They can. Can you hear them, and will you listen to them? Can you hear them, and can you listen to them? Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, now I'm going to pull some things out. Don't tell me you can't live off of every single punctuation. Every single word, because you darn sure can. Here am I, period. Not here am I, but I got all my excuses, God, why I can't do what you done told me to do. Not here am I, but I don't have a good outfit to wear, so I'm not going to do it. Not here am I, but I got some things I got to take care of first. Not here am I, but because, God, you haven't perfected everything that's concerning me, I'm not going to do what you said. No, just a here am I, and that's it. That's it. See, sometimes we get so confused about what God really wants from us, and what He wants is just to say, here I am. Here I am, God. I'm here. Then what does He say? Send me, exclamation point. How many of you, you're still pretty good on your literature and your English. What does an exclamation point mean? Billy, first grade is still with you, sister. Excitement. Excitement. Isaiah says, send me. I'm excited about it. God wants you to get excited about your life again. Too many believers are stuck in a rut, in a depression, in an anxiety spell, in a sadness, in grieving, in mourning, in upset because your life didn't turn out the way that you thought it was going to. See, God says, who can I send? And He said, send me. I'm excited about it, God. Lord, send me. See, God wants you to get excited about your life again. God wants you to get excited about your calling again. He's not asking you if everything's going perfect for you because He knows you. And what ain't going good, He's perfecting it, no doubt. But see, God wants you to get excited about what's going on in your life. Frank went to the doctor on Thursday or Friday, and they give their same old spiel. I was in the medical field, and they got all their questions that they got to ask just so they can check your box. Okay, there are about 15 boxes. That's called quality assurance. And they're going to ask you if you smoke. They're going to ask you if you drink. They're going to ask you how you're peeing, what color's your pee, all these things. Well, then they say, are you depressed? That's a loaded question, if you ask me. Well, he's the wittiest person I know. He says, you know, I notice that you never ask if I'm happy. Why don't you document that? Because, see, we don't glorify happiness and joy up in this country. We just want to glorify what's going wrong. And that's the problem with the world today, is that we've glorified the problem so much and not the answer. And he said, I'm happy. And I'm only depressed when you ask me if I'm depressed. God wants you to get excited about your life again. God wants you to begin to live again, to begin to feel again. Some people are so numbed over, they can't feel the presence of God. Who cares if the music ain't working? Does that really matter? Does it matter when the lights decide they're not going to work right? No. No, it don't. Tyler, go get little Gary out of the classroom for me. Tyler is the most polite person. Alyssa, he is precious. He really is. Everything he does it with the spirit of excellence. I mean, he does. Every car, God bless you. I mean, I'm telling you. Hey, little Gary. Gary, grab those tissue boxes right there, sweetheart. God brought this to me yesterday. And we ought to be giving these children something to do in the service. Little Gary, come up here and sit with Pastor. Let's have a conversation. Now, I'm older than you, so I have more problems doing that than you. Is it your birthday today? Did you get everything you wanted for your birthday? I didn't think so. I didn't think so. Do you like trucks? What do you like the best? Hoverboards. That sounds dangerous. I'm not getting you a hoverboard. I'm going to get you some, but it ain't going to be. I don't like dangerous things for little kids. You know, Gary had an uncle, and his name was Gary. And I remember when he was about your age, and he used to follow Pastor Angelo all around the church with a tissue box. And I started remembering that. And God brought that back to my memory last night, and he said, you know, Kelly, get little Gary up there and have him follow you. Because the anointing can be taught, and the anointing can be caught. Amen. And if you are not teaching your children what it's like to hear God, what it's like to trust God, what it's like to know God, then we're missing it. We're missing it. Now, Gary, here's your job, sweetheart. You're going to follow me. If anybody starts to cry, we're going to give them a tissue. Okay? Y'all can start my altar calling music if it's working. If not, well, I'll have Kayla sing a cappella or something. We'll do something. But I wanted to pray for people today. And I want Dad to come up here and help me pray. And there were three categories that God brought out in this message of things to pray for people. Number one, I believe that there's people and you feel like you're going through something and you don't know what you're up in the middle of. And you say, God, I want to stop going through this. Lord, if there's something that I'm doing wrong, if there's something that's standing in between me and being able to move forward, God, I want you to show it to me. And God, if you'll show it to me, Lord, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. If there's anybody and you're going through a season like that, I want you to begin to make your way up here to the front. But see, God wants you to be able to move forward. It's never his goal for you to just stay stuck where you're at. God wants you to move forward in your life. The second area that I want to pray for folks today is if you're having trouble hearing the voice of God. If you're having trouble hearing God, I want you to come up today. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to believe that you're going to be able to hear his voice again. If you're having trouble hearing God, I want you to come up. Maybe you've got some decisions that need to be made and you don't know which way to go and you're not getting a very clear answer. And number three, if you are battling depression, I want you to come up. Because, see, I believe that God wants to give you joy today.